At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Right. Hello, and welcome to the Dublin Arsenal Preview Show. I'm your host, Jonathan Giles. On tonight's show, August 27th, I'm joined by regular guests Eamon Donnelly and by Liverpool fan Martin Quinn to preview this weekend's Premier League clash away to Ernie Slot's in-form Liverpool side at Anfield. And remember to check out our show on Spotify. Liverpool v Arsenal will be live on Sky Sports Premier League at 4:30, so check it out. All the action in the River Bar. As I said in my intro, first of all, joined by regular guest Eamon Donnelly, lifelong Gooner. How are you, Eamon?
Evening, Jonathan. Evening, Martin. I went parachuting at the weekend there. It was a bit of a letdown. Yeah, rather.
Hopefully you weren't free-falling, as the song goes.
Not yet.
There's plenty of time in this show for that to happen. And also, by Martin Quinn, thanks for taking your time out, pal. How are you, pal?
I'm good. You know, obviously, all the predictions I went with last season were all wrong. So, I said Liverpool, you know, we're going to be poor all season, and Jesus, that was went horribly wrong for me. So,
see, you give them one Premier League, and Jesus Christ. Anyway, go on.
Everything else goes out the window, yeah. But hopefully, you close your game on this coming Sunday. We'll delve right into your summer transfer activity, Martin. Florian Wirtz came from Bayer Leverkusen, so did Jeremy Frimpong, 165 million combined there. Hugo Ekitike from Eintracht Frankfurt for 95 million. Milos Kerkez from Bournemouth for 47. And of course, at last, you got Georgi Mamardashvili from Valencia, the Georgian keeper. First of all, to the incomings, Martin, what did you make of your summer transfer window? You happy enough with the signings?
Well, like, strengthening a squad would generally entail, like, you know, having a squad and then adding to it. I think what Liverpool have done is, Liverpool are very strange in the transfer market. They're nearly like a one-for-one kind of thing. So, like, you know, when players leave, somebody comes in. Or, you know, if they can sell somebody, somebody comes in. So, like, if you were saying, like, Liverpool's strengthening would have been probably getting Wirtz and keeping Diaz too, you know, and you might have to get rid of one of your front three. But in Liverpool's case, unfortunately, with the Diogo Jota tragically passing away and, you know, Diaz being sold to Munich, like, they really only have Ekitike in, and Wirtz probably not a striker in the sense of what, or a winger like Diaz was, so they haven't really replaced like but like. And again, with signings, like, all signings come with health warning, like, especially if they're coming from outside the Premier League, cause you know, they haven't played in the Premier League, and it's, you know, the physicality, even like the other night, Liverpool's game, like, you know, it was highlighted that, you know, how physical the game is, and Wirtz struggled, you know, he struggled and he got dispossessed lots of times. And so it takes an awful lot of getting used to the Premier League, doesn't play week in, week out. So any new sign you get for any club is going to be like, yeah, you know, there's a health warning on them for the first, I'd say, 6-7 months there, because they have to settle in with their families, of course, they're moving to a new country, especially.
Yeah.
But players who are coming from afar, and then on top of that, like, they have the football side of it, which is like, it's a very frantic, high paced Premier League. So, you know, you'd be happy with the signings, but I'm not sure how quickly they'll bed in. And, you know, I think, you know, having so many signings, you're not strengthening your squad. I think having so many signings at the one time, you know, I wouldn't say it would weaken it, but it takes a little bit of time for those players to bed in. And I think Liverpool are going to struggle with that this season. Like, you know, I wouldn't, you know, like, I would think it'd be far harder for them to win the league now this year, especially considering Arsenal have strengthened, and, you know, Chelsea, you know, we don't like saying it, but Chelsea are looking decent too, you know what I mean? those young players like that policy have might actually be paying off for them now this season after a couple of years of what we all thought was a bit of madness, you know.
Yeah, and the loss of, as he says, it was really sad when Diego Jota passed, with his brother Andre Silva. Do you think that's bound to have a psychological impact on the players as well this season? Do you think the emotional side, or do you think, being professionals, they, put that to one side,
Well, we're all led to believe that, you know, sports psychologists and psychology in general is a massive factor in teams winning. Like,
Yeah.
there's two ways of looking at this. Like, you know, that can be a weight on your shoulder, and you can give yourself, too much to think about. Like, if you think, like, it wasn't that Klopp announced it. I think that the media got wind of it that he was leaving at the end of that season, and instead of it, being, a glorious run to the end of the season, it felt like there was a weight on the players that season. And I think if you use that kind of stuff as motivation, like, for example, the tragic death of Diogo Jota, if you use that as motivation, it's probably not a great thing to motivate you. Like, you know,
Yeah.
professionals, and they're supposed to have sports psychologists, but, like, you know, they shouldn't be, you know, although, you know, it could motivate some people, I don't think that should be the big motivation. And we're talking about professional sports people here as well. Like, it's like, as Roy Keane would say, it's their job, you know, they just have to get on with it, you know.
Do you feel Alexander Isak is still an option for you from Newcastle for 120 plus million? Do you think that's possibly going to happen before transfer deadline day on Monday?
It was never going to happen until we played Newcastle anyway, because I think Newcastle weren't going to let him go. If he's going to go, and he's going to go between now and then, I wouldn't see the value of, taking a player at Christmas who's not playing for like 3 or 4 months out, around the kind of winter window. I think that'd be a bit of madness. But like, Liverpool need a striker. They probably need a midfielder. They probably need a centre half. And I would say, out of all of them, a centre half is most urgent. If you looked at any of their pre-season games or the opening couple of games of the season, I think, like, if Konate or Van Dijk get injured, they are really struggling. I know they bought the young Italian lad, but he's 18 years of age. You know, in the Premier League against, big physical men in a different league where physicality is huge, I just think he'd struggle. He's the kind of player that you'd be bringing on as a sub in games, and or playing a few League Cup, early round League Cup games. I think that's where he kind of, cuts his teeth a little bit in the Prem, in English football. But I really think that it's, I think they still need a centre half badly, and I think that's a struggling position. I still think they need a midfielder. I think they're short there, but up top, look, if you could get him, you're not going to say no to, a player of that quality. But on the other side, I think a centre half would be a bigger issue for Liverpool at the moment, looking at the cover they have, because they don't really have too much cover. Joe Gomez, like, he's a little bit injured, he's frequently injured, and on top of that, then you'd have like the other guys that you'd have in reserve. They're like, they probably just don't cover, or they're just not ready, So, like, I think it's going to be like, they got out of jail in the first couple of games, but you can't keep doing that either, So, like, they're bound to get caught out eventually.
A little bit more work to do in the incomings before Monday's deadline, probably. Yeah. In terms of our outgoings, briefly, Martin, Luis Diaz went to Bayern Munich for 70 million. Darwin Núñez, as I say, all Liverpool fans are glad to see the back of Al Hilal for 53 million. Charlie Kwanzaa to Bayer Leverkusen. Cleven Keller, as we all know, went to Brentford for 14.8 million. And Doig, the Scottish lad, went to Bournemouth this week for 23. And of course, Trent Alexander-Arnold was. Before the start of last season, I think fans knew he was going to Real Madrid for 10 million. Out of the outgoings, Martin, will you miss any of them, or do you think it was deserved that they were the ones to go this summer?
I think if you go through them, I think Kelleher was always bound to go. I think, he's looking to play more, and that's fair. And like, when Liverpool were signing the Georgian keeper, from Valencia, I think it kind of psychologically Kelleher was probably going there. They're signing him as number one or number two, and where am I? And he's at a certain age where he probably has to go. I think Trent, we knew Trent was going, so it's wasn't that big a shock. Kwanzaa, like, look, to be honest, he's a young lad, and he probably needs to play more. And like, when he did get into the team in the past year and a half, he struggled, so he's probably better off going away and playing somewhere else. And I think he'll end up back in English football, and he'd probably end up being a better player for it, but I just don't think he was going to get those opportunities at Liverpool. I think Diaz is a big loss. I think Diaz is a big loss. He's Like, I think the other night, even against Newcastle, proved that because, like, Liverpool couldn't get a foot on the ball. But what Diaz would do, even in games where he don't have much possession, he'll take the ball on the edge of his box and he'll run 70 yards and he'll win you a throw-in. And he just takes pressure off. Like, we're crying out for that the other night. And, like, nobody was getting the ball, like, getting their foot on the ball in the middle of the pitch, even when it was 11v10. And, like, we just had no outlet at all. And I think he was such a big outlet. So I think he'd be a huge loss. I didn't say on the signings that, like, Ekitike looks like a good player, but again, we're not 100% sure. He's too young. You know what I mean? Like we haven't seen enough of him. He looks a decent player, but of the outgoings, though, like, none of them would be a shock really. And like Diaz was, like, I'd say he's the biggest loss in terms of, like, he's a ready-made starter, proven player. Top quality. So, but like, Liverpool are, have been in the past few years, they're very clever recouping fees, and kind of balancing their books, so I like they were just looking at it and they're probably saying, like, wages, etc., etc., like, this is the time to get rid,
Yeah, he will be. Out of all those players, I do agree. Luis Diaz, yeah, he's the most influential. On or when he come off the bench for you to get a goal at an important time. Yeah, aiming to yourself. We've done a lot of transfer business, of course, in the window, and Liverpool have done a lot of incomes themselves. What incomes do you like of Liverpool that came in for them?
Well, look, I mean, it's certainly like they're all good players, but you see, everybody overrates this signings and all that. Like, signings are just either you're in trouble and you need to do a rescue job, right? Or you need to replace players that are past their best or haven't done it, or you're adding strength. So you can't just judge it. And Martin is right. Martin's analysis is spot on, right? I'm not sure I'd ever tell him that in person when I meet him. We used to have long, long debates when Martin lived in Dublin about all sorts of things. And both of us were right at
Yeah,
the
sorry,
end.
it's there. And that's
Yeah.
pretty rare. Two fans agree
It's
on
a bit
things.
like the Brian Clough. Well, we'd spend the 20 minutes talking about it. We both agree I was right. No, but I think. Just on the Diaz thing, I remember doing a podcast after Liverpool beat us in an FA Cup match in January of 2024. And I think it was 2023 or
Oh, you're
24.
right. Yeah, that's when
Yeah.
we wore the
And I
white.
remember Ozzy being on the podcast and he enjoyed so much being at the game because watching Diaz because he was unplayable. Right?
I remember.
I think the Diaz move was made to clear the way, not from a positional point of view, but between funding and all the rest, to get Isak in. Isak has gone to Liverpool, right? I think the world's mother knows that. And Martin's right, he's never going to go before that particular game when the fixture list came out. And he was a man that was so committed to Newcastle last year and he was staying forever and all that type of stuff. But Liverpool can't call him. But look, it's not. I would say to you about the first three games of the season are bonkers. They're a basket case. Because everybody's trying to settle in. There's a natural hiatus when the international break comes, and then you have another couple of weeks with your players, and then you're back at it again. And I think nothing will be judged by this game at the weekend. All this nonsense on Sky and that it's an early title decider, would you get up out of that? If the game was at the end of October, like the first game between the teams was last year, you're in a much better position to see. How, as Martin said, how the players have bedded in. Some players bed in immediately. Kai Havertz didn't, for example. But by November, once he did bed in, he became a really, really big player for us, right? And I don't buy Martin's buy is the wrong word. I don't accept Martin's kind of analysis that Liverpool will struggle to do A, B, and C. Let's just look at what Liverpool did last season. With a new manager in transition, they went and won the title by 10 points. So it's not as if, you're trying to strengthen something that wasn't good. Now, let's just look at that. And please don't misconstrue any listener, anything that I'm going to say here. Sometimes you can have a lucky manager, right? That is not to be misconstrued. As Arne Slot is not a brilliant manager, because he quite clearly is a very, very good tactician and knows how to get the best out of players. But last year was a bit strange in that his bit of luck last year was that he was pretty injury free for most of the season, right? And we had the same type of luck in the season before that, right? We delivered 89 points in that season and didn't win the title. Ernest Lott won the title with 84 points and at a canter, because I think their only realistic challengers last season were going to be Arsenal, and we just got wiped off the face of the earth with injuries. Just wiped off in a season like I've never seen, right? But then the flip side of that is you could say about Jurgen Klopp, for example, that he was an unlucky manager, even though he won a Champions League and a league, right? He was challenging Man City with 92, 93 points,
Yeah,
right?
incredible. Yeah,
Right,
incredible.
and I think you know, and he lost the Champions League final because the goalkeeper went gaga on the night, right? They were the better team against Madrid that night, so I just think that Slot, he just has. I mean, he's a very, very good manager. He had that bit of luck last season. He seems to be very, very astute, but it does depend, as Martin says, on how quickly the players settle in. But it depends on how quickly our players settle in. It might take Zubimendi, for example, who's a terrific signing. It might take him 4 or 5 months. And really, if you look at when Man City were dominating the league, I remember Martin nudging me when Liverpool and Man City were, we were out somewhere, and Martin showed me the phone that City were 2-0 down at home to Norwich, right? And at the time, Liverpool and City were going ahead. So every point mattered. But it was September, right? And they lost that game. Man City always kind of bobbled along until October, because they signed a lot of players year on year. And then the trick for them was, if they were still in contention come October, things began to gel. And I think that's what's going to happen with Liverpool. I think this game on Sunday would be very, very hard to call. It's a bit of a lottery because both sides have added a lot of different faces. And I don't think it'd be any way, shape, or form a judgment of. I mean, I had Arsenal fans going bonkers at me on a text because Liverpool scored a winner the other night. For Jesus' sake, it's only two games in. Liverpool were terrible the other night.
You
We were
were,
terrible against. We were terrible against Man United. You know. So I do say one thing about with the Liverpool I'm looking at the moment, and I'm sure you'll agree, Martin, right? At the moment, and I'm just saying at the moment, they look a bit easier to score against than they were.
Oh, 100%. Like that's the reason I was saying center half is a huge problem position for them. And like going in, like if you look at the recording from last season, and I haven't looked back on it, lads, as like as done my homework, like for today. But if you did look at it, I did say last season Liverpool didn't replace Matip, and they went through a whole season and didn't replace him, and like they like Quance's gone, and the young lad, the Italian lad, could be like he's nearly a replacement for him, but they're still missing Joe Gomez, is very injury prone. They never really replaced Matip at all, and they still need another centre half. And if you look, Konate at the moment looks like he's a couple, like he's got away with a few really bad decisions. Like the other night, like he should have been sent off. It's like he's looking very clumsy. He's looking like he's going to give away penalties. His position's a little bit off. And like Van Dijk's excellent, but he looks worse
He's lost that
because.
year, the pace. Still
No,
has that, he still has that awareness, but you can see the pace of the Premier League is starting to maybe catch up with him the last
I don't
season.
think it's Van Dijk's pace, Jonathan. No, I
I
don't
don't
think Van
think so
Dijk. I
either.
think Van Dijk
You
still
think it's
has.
the centre back burden? He's not as 100% confident in Konate as he was with Matip back.
Martin. Martin, you'll know from playing football yourself, if you're comfortable with a pairing and it's and really, really works, and then all of a sudden it's disturbed and it's not working out so well, the
And like,
dominant part of that pairing tends to try and do everything. And you can't.
it's the cohesion, isn't it?
It really is. And I like, I
Spot
think
on, yeah.
Konate missed a fair few games last season. And when he came back, he was like he was on the bench a little bit and came on as a sub. So so they probably haven't formed that partnership, in the same way that Matip had with Van Dijk for that few years. But like the key thing for Liverpool is that if either of those two players gets injured, and like you look at the bench, and you go Joe Gomez, who's nearly always injured, and then the young lad, oh, what's his name? He was on loan last season. He's been on Rhys Williams, it is.
Yeah.
That's all they've got, you know. And then the young lad from Parma who's 18,
The
like,
only,
geez, you're looking at the bench kind of going, is, you know, is like, we're going to struggle if either of those players gets injured. And so I think, you know, for me, like, I think Eamon's right. I think if Isak's going to happen, it's going to happen. But I still think Liverpool need, are in dire need of a centre half. And I
But you
think
see, there's
they're,
only so many goals you can score, like, you
yeah.
know, with the state of the game. I don't know. He's a terrific player. I'm not exactly sure it's what Liverpool need.
I would say the centre half, aim is a far more important position that they need to cover, because if anything happens to either of the centre halves, there has to be a ready-made centre half, not somebody with potential, you know, who could be a great centre half. You just need somebody to go in and play and do a job. And at the moment, Liverpool just don't have them on the bench. So, like, look, if you look at any squad in any team, you know, Arsenal, Liverpool, Chelsea, like, you look at positions from where you're always going to be a bit light, you know. And like, I think that's one where Liverpool are light. But you're right, if you look at the pre-season and you look at the first couple of games of the season, it's not easy. Like, it's not hard to create chances against Liverpool, you know. Which is even the other night, and if you watched the other night, the high offside for Newcastle's second goal, like, that was a very strange decision, you know.
Did you
Really.
hear the explanation for that? It was mad. It was like, well, we tried a few low ones and it didn't work.
Well,
So
in
verge on the
fairness,
side of the, yeah.
I think Thierry Henry was the only person who caught it. That wasn't a Virgil van Dijk call. That was actually called from the line. And
Yeah.
I thought it was a very strange call, because, like, it wasn't like that. Like, Newcastle were launching into Dan Burn and he was winning every second header, like, you know, in the League Cup
Yeah.
final. It was more like, it was kind of like Liverpool were comfortable enough with what Newcastle were doing. Like, they weren't looking
Yeah.
under that pressure when the ball was going in. And I just felt that, like, by pushing that high line up, you exposed, like, obviously Van Dijk isn't as quick as he was, and Jesus, like, Konate could do anything running back towards his goal. You know what I mean? So,
Yeah.
I was just cursing Newcastle for they played very bravely with 10 players, and then there's a minute to go, and they decided to go gung-ho. Now, if they wanted to launch one up the field, or if they wanted somebody to try and hit a 30-yard screamer, fair enough, they went chasing the game and left themselves against an overload in the 100th minute of the game. Sweet Jesus, that, you know, mad stuff, you know. But
Yeah, when you're down to 10 men, sadly, you're
yeah.
going to be exposed to the
Yeah,
pace
but
of it.
guys, it's kind of like Arsenal's result against Man United. Like, Arsenal fans were saying, geez, it was a terrible result, you know. But they were playing away at Old Trafford against Man United on
It
the
was a
opening day
great
of the season.
result. It was a terrible performance.
Yeah, but like that, you know, that might be a point gained. Like, if United kind of
100%.
start coming together a little bit and they
Without a
start taking
doubt.
points off somebody else, you just don't know, like, you know.
Yeah, come the end of the season. Yeah.
Yeah.
This, I suppose, moving on to more into the preview of this match, lads. I suppose more for Arsenal fans, I suppose. Our last win at Anfield was September 2, 2012.
Long may that continue.
Lucas Podolski and
That
Santi
for
Cazorla. Here's our
Jesus.
Arsenal lineup for the two of yous, for listeners that want to know, of course. Vito Minnone in goal. Jenkins and Mertesacker for Malin Gibbs at the back. Diaby, who had a absolutely, he was man of the match that day. He had an absolutely storming game in midfield that day. Arteta was part of the squad. Chamberlain, who later will play for Liverpool. Cazorla, Podolski and Giroud up front. This was the summer Van Persie actually left United as well. And on the bench, Martinez, Koscielny, Santos, Andre Santos, what a man. Theo Walcott, Aaron Ramsey, Francis Coquelin and Gervinho. What was your memories of this 2-0 defeat or 2-0 victory, certainly aiming our last at Anfield, which when I looked at it, I didn't think it was 13 years ago, but
I'll tell you what my memory is, and Martin, this is one you'll really appreciate, right? I watched that in the bar in Greece, and I was getting ready. I'd miscalculated my holidays, and it was a curtain raiser to Dublin versus Mayo in the All-Ireland semi-final, and Dublin were 7 points to 7 down and nearly won the game. The 2012 All-Ireland semi-final.
That was a cracking
Yeah,
game.
that was. But my memories of that, like, Podolski scored, you know, and.
Andy.
Cazorla was really good that day, you know.
Very good.
Aberdeen,
Yeah, it was
Aberdeen.
early. That was another one that was, as I said, it clashed with the All-Ireland semi-final. It
Yeah.
was two or three games into the season.
Right.
Another mad thing, you know? Yeah.
That was a transfer window where we had to sign players at the last minute, wasn't it, as well, for the corner?
No, that was
But that was
2011.
the season before, wasn't it? Sorry, it
Yeah.
was the season before, yeah. So Karen Thankinson was
You
still
can see
singing
that the
with
research that goes into this show is
him.
quality.
I love aiming the brushes up. I'm glad there's someone to cover for me.
Jonathan, I'm going on memory, but for the three listeners we have, could I just say my memory cells will start, disintegrating sooner
Don't
than
worry,
rather than later,
don't worry. I'll be able to back all this up. The more shows, the more experience. I'll have to start drinking that beer Moretti yourself, I think. Martin, it's to yourself. Liverpool, the record you have against us at Anfield as well. Sorry, from 1989, Eamon Thomas.
Hold on, Jonathan. Liverpool are serial winners. The record they have against everybody at Anfield
Yeah, but
is
we've always found it
incredible.
tough. Martin, against you at Anfield, it's a real, the atmosphere when you walk out, you never walk alone. It's a shiver down the spine of opposition players, but it's such an intimidating ground, Martin,
The
isn't
last three
it?
games have been, I've just jotted it down on my notebook. 2-2, 1-1, and 2-2.
Yeah, so there hasn't been much between them in recent years at
Yeah,
all.
but before that, it's been the scoreline has been quite high, hasn't it, in favour of yourselves, Martin?
Yeah, but I think that's just the cyclic nature of sports and where Arsenal were for a few years. Obviously, when Wenger left, it was, they kind of went through a little bit of a phase there where it was like they were trying to rediscover their squad a bit, and football had changed as well, and the money in the game had changed, etc., etc. But
Yeah.
if you go back to obviously the Arsenal glory years, I mean, like it could be argued like Liverpool could hardly get a result against Arsenal. Like I remember, the night at Anfield where Thierry ran down the line, knocked the ball aside Carragher, and came out to either side of it, and they were awesome to watch. They were fantastic. So I just think that's the cyclic nature of it. I think there's very little between the teams now. Do you know what I mean?
You can see that, yeah, getting tighter and tighter, yeah, 100%, yeah.
Arsenal did have a hand, like a really kind of horrible injury this last year. And see, it's the key players. Like Liverpool had lots of injuries last year, and people keep reminding. But I'm going Conor Bradley, Queevan Kelleher. The only people who were out for a long period
They
of time.
didn't get the cluster of injuries, though. It's
They
the
didn't get in.
clusters.
No, they didn't. But they had key players. Like for example, I think Alisson was out for nearly 15 games. Konaté was out for eight, and then he was in and out. But like,
Yeah, but Salah wasn't there, and Van Dijk wasn't there.
yeah, it was your
Yeah,
forward line that
barely
was
did.
very injury free. Yeah,
Yeah.
100%,
Well,
yeah.
Jota was out, Jonathan, but he wouldn't re being a regular starter.
Yeah,
So
at
it's
that
like,
stage he was becoming a bit part, and
yeah.
but when he did play against us, sorry, Martin, he'd always
But
seem to score. He
yeah,
jotted,
but
and he'd always
at one stage we were nearly having to play Gunnarsson up front,
he couldn't have done any worse.
Listen,
I don't know. He
I
could be a threat to Canadian and Van
mean,
Dijk and so.
guys, I just want the Arsenal fans' thoughts on that, and I'm glad you brought her up, Aim, because there was a period there where Gunnarsson might have been transferred out there, and only for Mesut Ozil's goodwill,
Yeah,
he's Galatasaray club, you know what I mean? So he's available for selection still, thank God.
he is available, yeah. And I'll tell you what, set pieces, he could be a weapon.
He does wonders, Gordon, in them small goals. So
You get it
I
in with his
fancy
belly. Get the Ned Kelly on that there, Gunnarsson. Get in there, my son. Yeah.
that tail out. Yeah, no, that's a good too, by Martin. We'll run that by Arteta before pre-match, I think. If all else is.
Mean, besides, Sonia's showing Arsenal fans his fantastic skills, Mesut Ozil kept him on the books. I don't think that there's
Yeah.
been it, you know, there should be an extra statue aside for Ozil just for that alone,
Well,
for
you
keeping.
see, well, here's what you don't know. There's actually a huge piece of graffiti, just on one of the side walls of the apartment, the flat complexes. To
Yeah.
Ozil, yeah.
Well, there is actually, yeah, you're spot on there, yeah.
Yeah.
It's yes, it's mad the way he was. Yeah, that's I was actually reading that in the Revolution book. That the Gunnar Torres was nearly gone because of staff cuts.
I
That's
reckon they should put a statue of Andre Santos on the basis that he never moved on the pitch. So they, you know.
only thing I always remember, the only thing I anything I remember about Andre Santos was that goal and that fight to win against Chelsea. He scored a
Yeah.
screamer to make it 2-1, but after that he was non-existent. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. Very
A quick, like
yeah, go ahead, bro.
Arsenal have had some outgoings this year as well. So like
Yeah.
there isn't a replacement. And
Yeah.
like the players they brought in, like I think they're in a good place that they can probably bring them in over and the space of numerous weeks as opposed to bringing them all in at
Yeah,
once.
but the only thing is, Martin, I'll say that, like, I'm not moaning about injuries again. You can't lose four. Like, we've lost four players in two matches already, you
Yeah,
know? Like,
exactly. Exactly. With us, you know. If...
but the only thing I say, when I was lying awake wondering what to say in this pod, I actually went through a second team in the positions, right? And I said, Jesus, that's almost as strong as the first one you'd pick, you know? We're
Yeah.
very Arsenal squad is very, very strong.
In,
I
yeah.
think if you compare the two sides, as things are at the moment, I think our midfield is better than Liverpool's. But I don't think our front five is as good as theirs.
Yeah, to yourself, Martin, actually, over new signings that we've made, Gyökeres, Eze that came in last weekend, Zubimendi and Madueke. Who do you fear on Sunday yourselves out of the new signings that could do a bit of damage to yourselves?
Well, again, I think Zubimendi is just a terrific player. He'd be in the Alexis McAllister mold about getting on it and keeping things going. I think Eze is an excellent player. I'm not sure he'll start though, you know,
No,
unless
he won't start.
Arsenal.
No, I don't think so.
So you might see him come on, you know, like late on, but I couldn't see him start. And Madueke is he's kind of just a squad player, and I think you know that he'd be used
It
kind of.
won't be now with Saka out. Madueke will start on the right-hand side.
Yeah,
And
see,
Martinelli will start on the left-hand side because he always does well against Liverpool.
Does,
he
yeah.
always
Does, yeah.
really does. But like,
Yeah.
I think Zubimendi's the kind of footballer you can bring in and play like straight away, and he'll just play because he just does what he does, and it's really good, and he gets on the ball a lot, and so it'll be interesting to see. And obviously, Odegaard's a very good player as well. You know, he's excellent. So like, it'd be a fair enough comment to say. Arsenal midfield do look stronger, but it depends the way both teams set up the weekend. Like, are Arsenal going to go to Liverpool? Are Arsenal going to go and play gung ho against Liverpool?
No, enough.
No.
I
And
think
I.
Gyökeres as well, sorry, Martin. Between Van Dijk and Kanati, I think his physical presence could cause you a bit of bother there. That type of
Yeah.
striker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think if you have anybody who's physical and quick is the big one, you know, if you get somebody
Pace.
who adds a bit of bow, it causes a little bit more trouble for Van Dijk and Kanate together because, like, Van Dijk's positioning will always get him out of trouble because he always reads where it's going to go. But he, at the moment, I just don't think he's like Kanate is a little bit off all over, he's been all over the place, and it's
Yeah.
like you just sense like that every time teams like Liverpool at the moment, I would nearly say. Like there's no great goals scored against Liverpool. They're all pretty defendable goals. Like you know that's a score. It's not hard to score against
Yeah.
them. If they're,
Yeah.
like even like if you look the other night, the you know the high line ball. Like you're like just drop 15 yards and win the header, and win the second ball and try to get your foot on the ball and play. It was like we're gonna push up and try to be clever here, and then we just gave away a howler. And
Yeah.
it's like Liverpool have been doing that a fair bit over the past, like the pre-season and the couple of games I've seen so far. They're conceding a lot of chances, a lot of like, and even the ones that like, you know, the developing chances that are played in the game that don't work out for the opposition. I'm going only that the pass was wrong, they were in. Do you know what I mean? Because there's so many gaps in Liverpool's defense, and of course when you're kind of playing Kjaerkaeze, who's new as well, you know, and Frimpong, you know, like they're. That's who you're back for. Like, so it's bound to create
Yeah.
a little bit of kind of like a little bit of kind of like the key cohesion is not there. It's gonna create a little bit of carnage in your back four if you're playing if two of your four are new players. And like but like that's just the way things are, you know, like modern football.
I think both sides would be delighted with a win, and neither side would be devastated with a draw.
Oh, that's 100%. I
Look,
agree with you as well. I agree.
the start of the season we've had exactly a draw. Would just to briefly mention, lads, we'll all at both sets of fans all know the previous results from last season. But Sunday the 11th of May was 2-2 at Anfield. Gakpo and Diaz for yourselves, Martin, and Martinelli Marino got 2 goals back for us, and then back on the 27th of October at the Emirates, Saka and Marino the goals for ourselves, and Van Dijk and Salah, who always seems to score against us, got goals for Liverpool, which was 2-2. So, as Eamon said, and yourself, Martin, the games over the last 2 or 3 seasons, it's verging, you think, on Sunday, maybe a draw, as the result. Would you be, we've conceded none ourselves, Martin, but would it be kind of a worry the goals you're conceding, four goals in 2 games? Would that worry you as a
Well, yeah, it definitely worries me because, like, as we've spoken about, like the injuries are, like if any injuries happen, that's going to be an issue. And to top it off, there's going to be a real problem, if teams keep creating chances and the transfer window passes, Liverpool are going to struggle for the next couple of months if they do pick up an injury. So that's your big worry at the moment. If the coaches are as good as we're all led to believe, well then the reality is that they should solve the problem. But look, if you're a realist here, you need the players to solve those problems as well. If you're any top club, like Arsenal, Liverpool, Chelsea, Man United, and I say Man United there not because of their position at the moment, but just because they have the potential to spend money and get themselves back there. If you're at a top club, you're expecting the coaches to solve problems, but they also need to get the players in too. And as clubs like Arsenal, Liverpool are at the top end of things at the moment. They'd be looking to, have competitive squads, and you should see problems in your squad and say, geez, that could cause it going down the tracks really. And again, I take a draw now, because these games, listen, we take a win, as Eamon said, you'd be delighted for a win if you got them. But if you took a draw, the managers will say all the right things, but they'll walk away from that going, look, that's one of our biggest rivals, and we came out on par with them.
Eamon, briefly, Eamon, what players, do you think would hurt Liverpool on Sunday? And where could we hurt Liverpool, in your opinion?
Well, I
Where
think
do
we
you
could
think?
hurt. Well, I think like most teams, I think we could hurt them on set pieces, But if they play that high line and we have Martinelli on the left, that's going to be a problem. But I don't think they're going to play that high line. I think it'd be a and unlike the Klopp era, Slot doesn't do chaos the same way
No,
that
the rock and
Klopp
roll
did,
football type of thing.
and we always struggled with chaos because we're very structured. So I think look, it's hard to call, as I said, it's so early in the season. I think we're capable of getting a draw up there, but it won't be like I know that here's how you know when there's a real rivalry, and here's how you know what both sets of fans think about each other, right? Well, A, when Liverpool fans start sending you texts slagging off your club, that's one thing that you're doing something right. But the other thing is the first result that a Liverpool fan will look for now on a Saturday or Sunday is how do the Arsenal get on? And vice versa. So there's something brewing there, So look, I think we're good enough to get a draw. I wouldn't be saying that with any great confidence. If we lose the game, it's by no means a title decider. That'll all shake down. I mean, you wouldn't have said Man City would have lost at home to Tottenham
No,
last
not at
week
all,
when you
no.
saw their first away win of the season 4-0. So things are only settling down, folks. So everybody settle down and so let's see how the game goes. But I think a draw is probably where both teams are at the minute. Because we haven't faked either, by the way. Don't be fooled by 5-0 against Leeds. Don't be fooled with it. We
Eamon,
I'm at the game,
has in the last 5, 6, 7, 8 years of City, hasn't that really kind of changed people's perspective on how the season should go? Like, if you lose a game, people are saying it's fatal.
It's
We're
over.
going to find out Sunday, but I'd just like to thank Martin Quinn for coming on this evening, pal. Thank you. And to Eamon
No problem.
Donnelly.
No problem.
You can catch our show on the Dublin Arsenal YouTube channel and Spotify. And remember to check out the River Bar on Sunday, where you can catch the Dublin Arsenal crew, for which will be a cracking game, as it always is. And we'll have our review show on Monday. But until then, enjoy the game on Sunday, lads. And come on, you Gooners.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah.